We're looking tonight in the book of Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verses 5 through 9. We want to just deal with the putting off the old man tonight. There is a covering topic that we need to keep in mind as we look into these verses that are before us tonight and also next week's study. And its conformity to Christ. Keeping that thought in mind, in conformity to Christ, there is the matter of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now, the Bible said we'll put off the old man with his deeds. We're dealing now with the area of life in the flesh here on earth. We're not talking about spiritual things in the sense that we'll see in the new man, but we're dealing with just man in his natural state as he is before he's saved by the grace of God. Then after he's saved by the grace of God, some things are to be abandoned, put aside, and put off. This is by and large an abandoned and a forgotten doctrine today. We've come to the conclusion that man has the option to live like he wants to, but that's not the case at all. The Bible imperative is that we put off the old man and the deeds of that old man. Now, there'll be reasons why as we look into it. Let's read these verses, and then we'll come back and deal with it point by point. It said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Now, if we went on, we'd find out that we are then to put on the new man and demonstrate the life of Jesus Christ, literally he demonstrating his life through us. But let's think for a few moments about this matter of conformity to Christ, and it involved putting off the old man. We readily see that none of these things that are named as the deeds of the old man have any place in testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that these things that are named and numbered for us here tonight are far removed from Jesus Christ. I realize that several years ago now, the fellow wrote his symphony. Called it Jesus Christ Superstar, and in that he tried to present Jesus Christ as a man and in all kinds of illicit relationships. But I want you to know that the Word of God teaches totally the opposite. That none of these things have any place in Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be conformed to Christ, we're going to have some measure of understanding or proper understanding of the circumstances. And that is, whenever we are unsaved, we naturally do the deeds of the old man because of our sinful nature. Verse 7, "In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." In other words, that's where we were. That's where we walked. Now, if you were saved as a child, you need to be very thankful, because the Lord saved you from a lot of pitfalls in your life, that you would not have to unlearn a lot of things that some of the rest of us have had to deal with in some very direct ways, because God saved you from some things. But the truth of the matter is that every person that is born in the natural state that first birth that the Lord talked to Nicodemus about, the birth of the flesh, then as long as we walk in the flesh and live in the flesh, then the normal or the natural thing will be to fulfill the deeds of the old man. And so we see then that God has condemned the old man with his deeds, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience in verse 6. There's a little black lady that said one time, folks that go to hell each carry their brimstone with them. You might think that's odd theology, but when you begin to think about it, the Bible said that every sin, every transgression will receive a just recompense of reward. And God has condemned the old man with his deeds, and it brings judgment. And it will continue to bring judgment. And it will continue to bring judgment until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. The natural man is never acceptable in the sight of God. We find that because a man is in his natural state, unprepared, because he's not covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, that God will bring him to judgment. I wish today this modernist group would get their theology correct and understand that God not only will judge sin, but he, even by his own standard of righteousness, compels himself to judge sin. The Bible teaches that God will not compromise in any fashion, but will exact of man that which he has demanded of him. You and I tonight can rejoice that are under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, but also under that covering we also received an imputed righteousness that fits us for the presence of God. And God sees us in His Son, and therefore we are privileged to come into His presence. And that ought to encourage you to pray tonight. But the natural man, when he's unsaved, performs his deeds. But then we have been made alive in Christ. And when we were made alive in Christ, we literally died. The old man died. In that sense. That's not going to be brought up against us anymore. Now there's a difference in judgment for sin and accountability for life. We dealt with that somewhat on Sunday night in our message on Sunday night about the judgment seat of Christ. Understand that we will account for our lives, but thank God the old man with his deeds is not going to be the standard of judgment, because those things have been put away. Somehow or another, I believe it to be true because it's in the Bible, that God has put our sins behind His back, never to be remembered against us anymore. So tonight we do have a new life in Jesus Christ. When we were made alive in Christ, we died with Christ on the cross, and sin was judged in Him on the cross. Now the old man is already reckoned dead, and Paul therefore said, therefore mortify your members which are here on this earth. And as we look at into the list, and I don't want to deal with it with any great depth tonight, but there are some of the most heinous things that are mentioned. In the term fornication, it involves adultery, it involves incest, it goes into great detail. Some of the most heinous crimes that are perpetrated in our world today. And that's the deeds of the old man. As he goes on and talks about uncleanness, we sometimes, if we use that term, think about somebody needing a bath. And they do need a bath, but they need a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ. But uncleanness is literally a man that is in sin and loves to stay in sin. He's just like the dog that returns to the vomit, or the sow that was washed, for a wallow in the mire. And so we see that there are some things that are mentioned here. Evil concupiscence, inordinate affection, inappropriate affection, and that involves a lot of the perversion that's going on today. I'll not be politically correct, so you just forgive me for being so old-fashioned as to believe the Word of God. But there are some things that are forbidden in this book. There are some things that we are told in this Word that if they're allowed to stand in the land, they'll consume the inhabitants thereof. There are some, and I'll use the upfront term that they use, alternate lifestyles, which the old Bible condemned as sodomy, that if allowed to stand in this land, will divide this land and destroy this land. It's already divided our land. An effort's being made to destroy our land because of it. Perversion in its worst way, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, just the worst thing that can come to the mind of man. It reminds me of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was the indictment of God against the folks in Noah's day? The imaginations and thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually, and violence filled the earth. In Lot's day, the Bible tells us that he himself, a righteous man, vexed his righteous soul every day with the very ungodly deeds of those where he lived, in the city of Sodom and the immediate surrounding cities of the plain. And God brought judgment upon them. But we're told that we're to put off these things, that they are not part of the child of God. They are to be left behind. Oftentimes we have folks with the mistaken imagination that there is no such thing as idolatry for a Christian today. But the Bible said covetousness is idolatry. And that becomes a god to us, and it's a forbidden thing in our lives. If you have your supply today, be thankful and thank God for it. But we're also to learn to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so we have to put off the old man with his deeds. And then he goes into another list in verse 8, but now also put off all these: anger, wrath, and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You might ask, what's the difference in anger? Anger is just a sudden passionate outburst of usually the wrong thing. Wrath goes a little bit deeper than that. Wrath takes on the connotation of anger with an intent to hurt and to seek revenge. And malice, of course, then is the perpetration and carrying out of the act. There's a progression in these things. If we give ourselves to anger, it'll lead to a wrath that will lead to malice, and it will ultimately end up being in our hearts to harm somebody, and the effort being made to harm somebody. And then he gives us then the end results of such a lie: blasphemy. Just absolutely taking the name of God in an improper fashion, using it in a casual, calloused way. I want you to know that there is a name that is above every name, and it hurts my heart, and it grieves my soul when anybody takes that name and uses it in a casual fashion. He wasn't a casual person. He was the Son of God and is the Son of God. And his name is a name that saves the soul. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a precious name tonight. We dare not blaspheme that holy name. And then feel the communication out of your mouth. This is just conversation. And then he said you need to put off something else. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Just be out open and out front. Just be honest with folks. I'm not talking about you having to make great confession. That's another misconceived idea. It got very popular several years ago now. where they wanted everybody to come confess all of their sins publicly and openly. Something needed to confess to the Lord and the Lord alone, but we don't want to especially deceive the folks that are children of God. Don't lie one to another. Just be honest with that brother, that sister in Christ. Encourage them. Because you put off the old man with his deeds. Now we're talking about conforming to Christ. What are you going to do whenever you put off the old man? Well, then you're going to put on the new man. Which we are able to do by the enabling of God, by His precious Holy Spirit in our lives. But I hope you see tonight that the matter of conformity to Christ, and that's God's plan for our lives. In fact, as you read the progression of it, that we might be conformed to the very image of His Son. Involved in that conformity to the image of His Son is to put off some things that never had place in the life of the Son of God. But they have had place in our life because we're told in our text that we walked that way before we were saved. And tonight, if you're saved, be very grateful, very thankful that God has removed you from that course of conduct and that walk of life. I like the way Paul said it to the Ephesians. The time past of our lives suffices to have walked according to the course of this world. You've had enough of that. I don't care if you're just 5 years old, you've had enough of that. 3 years old, you've had enough of that. Be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, we'll stop our study there tonight.